bit left, little bit right. It's hard to drive with her hand over here on my knee. Have a little mercy on me. Sir, I'm sorry, I know I'm all over the road.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Israeli forces working to explain the deadly airstrike in Rafah over the weekend targeting Hamas. The Hamas-run health ministry says 50 displaced Palestinians died in that strike that hit a nearby refugee camp. IDF Lieutenant Colonel Nadav Shoshani tells ABC News weapons stored nearby could also have ignited.
Our ammunition alone was not enough to start a fire the size that broke out. We are checking the option that it's because of ammunition that was in the area, Hamas ammunition, that we were not aware of before the strike.
The UN Security Council will hold an emergency session today discussing that strike and renewed calls to recognize the state of Palestine. Closing arguments taking place today in the hush money trial of Donald Trump. Defense attorneys wrapped up their side. Prosecutors are up next after the lunch recess. T-Mobile moving to buy U.S. Cellular's wireless and spectrum assets. That deal worth an estimated $4.4 billion. This is ABC News. A Massachusetts man is now facing criminal charges, including poisoning and assault and battery with a dangerous weapon on a pregnant person, after he reportedly misled a woman he was dating into taking medication to end her pregnancy. Middlesex District Attorney Marion Ryan says the suspect secretly gave the victim pills under the guise of giving her iron pills and vitamins. Airlines still playing catch-up after severe storms impacted holiday flights yesterday.
On Monday, U.S. airports seeing more than 5,000 flight delays and more than 430 cancellations. Storms across the East Coast causing a ripple effect across the country, derailing plans for thousands of passengers. Passengers traveling out of New York, Atlanta, and Florida airports experiencing some of the worst delays on Memorial Day.
ABC's Gio Benitez. Some promising news for the U.S. economy. Consumer confidence tips up in May. But business research group, the Conference Board, says many Americans are still anxious about the future and inflation. Michelle Franz on ABC News.
Oh, I can't believe tax season is here already. But look at all this info I have to enter.
Phil's small accounting firm is growing in numbers.
Why didn't I take that typing class in high school?
A data entry specialist could really help him in a crunch.
I got blisters on my fingers!
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Some people just know there's a better way to do things, like bundling your home and auto insurance with Allstate, or going to the grocery store for milk instead of buying your own cow. You know there's an easier and better way. Save up to 25% when you bundle home and auto with Allstate.
Bundled savings vary by state and are not available in every state. Saving up to 25% is the countrywide average of the maximum available savings off the home policy. Allstate Vehicle and Property Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Tad Ayling. Recall petitions against Representative Robin Voss are due today at the Wisconsin Elections Commission.
This is the second effort by Voss opponents to recall the Republican Assembly Speaker. The first fell short of the needed signatures. If these signatures do get turned in, there are a series of deadlines, including an opportunity for Voss to challenge and for petitioners to respond. If the commission eventually finds the petitions sufficient, state law requires an election to be scheduled for the sixth Tuesday after that ruling. Well, that'd be August 6th. If a primary is needed, it would be August 6th with the recall election 4 weeks later, September 3rd. Voss's current term ends January 6th of 2025. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Post-Memorial Day remembrance of many who served will arrive in Wisconsin today. The Wall That Heals is a three-quarter scale replica of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. The display, which travels across the country, will travel to the village of Heartland today for its only stop in Wisconsin this year. The display can be viewed at Nixon Park in Heartland around the clock from this Thursday through June 2nd. The Wall That Heals is transported in a specialized 53-foot semi-truck, and Vietnam vets on motorcycles will escort the truck into Heartland, motorcade style, today. If you're still digging out after last week's storms, don't rely on a repair crew that just shows up at your house.
Wisconsin Consumer Protection Director Michelle Reinen says if you do need work done, find a local contractor instead. Reinen says you can do a search for a contractor online at datcp.wi.gov and see if they have any complaints filed against them, or get a referral from friends, neighbors, or insurance agents. If you run into trouble, contact Consumer Protection at 1-800-422-7128. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Medicare loses $60 billion annually to fraud. June 3rd through the 9th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent Medicare fraud, errors, and abuse. Learn how to protect yourself and your loved ones by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Yet again, another round of some scattered showers and some thunderstorms sparking up this afternoon and into the evening hours. Some could put down some pea-sized hail. Otherwise, mostly cloudy today with highs in the mid-60s. One call to Tax Solutions Now will solve all of your IRS problems. 1-800-281-8193. Currently, it's 61.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovia, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Start of summer brings with it the official start of summer markets. And there is a battle today between the bulls and the bears in the grain markets. We'll talk the milk market, summer weather, and what's happening in the cattle trade on this morning's AgriTalk.
Live from Monday, Tuesday, via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll begin with a weather conversation. Michael Clark and Brett Waltz from BAM WX check in. Then it's Ross Baldwin from AgMarket.net. And directly following the news, Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Laurie.
You know, I think you might be onto something there. The day after Memorial Day is the most Monday-feeling Tuesday of the year.
Am I right, or am I right?
It's got to be. I mean, because you go to the ceremonies, church, Monday.
Yeah.
And it kind of feels, you know, like it's Sunday. All day. It felt like it was Sunday. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of just now I'm realizing it's Tuesday.
Yeah, it is. It is Tuesday. It's
Holy
here.
Smokes.
It's here, whether we like
it's
it or not.
Not yeah. Monday. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good thing that we are blessed to have such a doggone fun job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
That helps a little. It helps a little.
It does. It really does. There's no question about it. Welcome to AgriTalk. I am Chip. That is Davis. And it is Tuesday, the day after Memorial Day, May 28th, 2024. All right. There were some headlines that came out on Friday that had me a little concerned about the cattle trade. Yeah. Cattle and feed report we also got, cold storage report we also got, and the cattle market is kind of taking it all in stride. The feeder cattle market is off and running this morning, but we're going to get into a little bit more detail about that. It's the official start of weather of summer markets for the grain markets. We've got soybeans and corn under pressure today while wheat is trading to the upside. So a little bit of a battle between the bulls and the bears in the grains. We're going to get the summer weather outlook from Michael Clark and Brett Waltz at BAMWX.com. So Karen's standing by and ready to come in here too. So, what a day. What a morning. We're off and running.
Yeah.
You know, and at the end of the show, we got to talk more about the weather. We'll talk about the weather with Michael and Brett.
Uh-huh.
But, dude, you had a gnarly weekend.
Well, gnarly, that's one way to put it. Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you all about it.
I can't wait to hear. All right, let's get on to the news.
Well, the National Weather Service is expecting widespread strong to severe thunderstorms over much of Texas and southern Oklahoma today, with the potential for significant damaging wind and large hail. An enhanced risk, that's a level 3 out of 5. Yeah. So an enhanced risk has been issued for central Texas. The threat of excessive rainfall could create localized areas of flash and urban flooding across Texas and southern Oklahoma Tuesday and into Wednesday. Look out, man, Texas.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's the severe storms are exiting the panhandle of Oklahoma right now. So it's not just central and southwest.
Yeah.
Or southeast. I mean, it's up in northwest Oklahoma right now is where those small little pop-up showers are creating some real issues. But there's a big storm system that's in that Dallas area making its way over to Shreveport right now as well. And we've got rain that moved back into northeast Iowa. Again, I don't like to complain about a good thing, but doggone, we're working on the wettest May ever up here.
Yes. Over the weekend, powerful storms and tornadoes wreaked havoc across the central U.S., killing at least 15 people in Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Kentucky. The severe weather injured numerous others, caused widespread power outages, and chip delayed the Indy 500. The impact on ag, perhaps some more delays for planting, as several dry out days will be needed, and some replanting. Here we go again. There's that word again.
Yeah. We'll cover the weather issues here at the end of the show, buddy.
Well, AAA projected nearly 44 million travelers headed 50 miles or more from home during the holiday period, which began on May 23rd. Chip, that's the second highest number of travelers on record. Did you travel at all over the weekend, did you?
Only by car. Only by car, yeah.
Well, both the Senate and the House will be on recess this week and will return on June 3rd. Private exporters report sales of 215,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to Mexico, 165,000 for 23-24, and 50,000 metric tons for delivery during the 24-25 marketing year.
There's Mexico again. Good thing they're around.
Well, with 96% of companies in the S&P 500 having reported first quarter earnings, the index is now on track to grow quarterly profits 6% from a year ago, according to FactSet. That would be the fastest quarterly growth rate since the first quarter of 2022. I'm looking up at my thing here. Yeah, it looks like the Dow is a little lower, but the S&P strong, NASDAQ higher as well this morning.
Yeah.
USDA kept its food inflation forecasts unchanged from April levels, predicting a 2.2% rise for all food, 1.2% for groceries, and 4.2% for restaurant prices in 2024. This is the first time the 2024 forecasts have remained steady in nearly a year. USDA reported total red meat stocks in frozen storage increased 35.2 million pounds during April, but remained 89.7 million pounds below a year ago. Beef stocks declined less than average during the month, while pork inventories built more than normal. And finally here, Chip, former President Donald Trump's 2017 tax cuts are set to expire. The estimated cost to extend the cuts is near $4 trillion over 10 years. Now, should the cuts be allowed to expire, increases for taxpayers would tally a $3 trillion tax hike. Many would pay $2,600 to $3,600 more in taxes annually. Chip.
Oh. These cost estimates on some of these tax moves are ridiculous.
Yes.
And anyway, we will definitely talk more about that this week.
Indeed.
All right, let's bring in Karen Bonnet, editor of Farm Journal's Mouth. Good morning, Karen.
Hello, Chip.
So, you know, you look at the Class 3 milk futures between 19 and 20 bucks, and it kind of gives the impression that financial conditions in the dairy markets aren't too bad. But in reality, $20 milk isn't what it used to be, is it?
No, Chip, it's not. It's not cutting it anymore. And I don't know if I have the answer on what is that new break even, but it's a heck of a lot more than $20. And honestly, Chip, it really depends on a lot of the variables. You know, do you grow your own feed? Where are you located? But what I know is for our farm, and we ship to a cheese market in Illinois, our net average in 2014, Chip, was over 30 bucks. Last year, it was 24-22, and obviously, our input costs have risen dramatically in the last decade. And so, my husband and I are having this conversation. You know, we utilize, like most dairies, DRP, DMC, which last year, yes, was a savings grace for so many producers. But really, should we have to rely on government insurance programs to break even? It's like hoping your house burns down, right?
Yep.
Use risk management, I will say, it's smart, right? Mm-hmm. And so, we've talked over and over about additional income lines that help producers to get by, and beef on dairy. It's that winning lottery ticket that we're going to talk about, you know, day after day. And so that's certainly helping us, you know, in addition to help offset that $20 milk, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is something that we need to talk more about, and we will, Karen, is just kind of the overall financial conditions in this market and the costs that go along with producing milk. Karen, thank you so much. She's got some great perspective on all of this on www.dairyherd.com. Check it out. Karen, we'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks, Chip.
You bet. We are talking weather next here on AgriTalk.
John Carter knows the value of his efforts to farm sustainably on his Indiana dairy.
Sustainability is really important to the consumer. As a farmer, it's important for us to produce a product that meets those standards.
That's why the Checkoff's work to do research and share results is so important.
If we weren't sustainable as a farm, we wouldn't be here. So the Checkoff is a bridge to tell the farmer's story on how they're practicing sustainability.
Learn more at usdairy.com.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
With Karen.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
I don't know if it came through or not, but I look up at my computer monitor here. I got Tim Conway playing the harp. Harvey Korman on this enormous recorder, and Carol Burnett at the piano, Vicki Lawrence out there singing. I can only imagine it's a musical masterpiece. Of course, I can't turn on the sound.
Right, right.
But it looks phenomenal. I had no idea. Dude. Such talented people.
Yes, there you go. Welcome back to AgriTalk.
Yeah,
I'm nice. Chip. That is Davis. Mm-hmm. Maybe this will get Davis's attention. I'm sure it will. We've got a conversation right now with Michael Clark and Brett Waltz at BAMWX.com. Good morning, fellas. It's great to talk with you.
Chip, it's been a minute. How are
you?
Yes,
it has, Michael. Hey, Brett. Yeah. Good to talk to you guys. Glad you guys are here. Okay.
Yeah.
Michael, let's start with you here and give us some perspective on what is happening, what is feeding this string of severe weather that we're dealing with right now?
Yeah, it's a great question, and a lot of it's just due to the evolution into the La Nina that's developing. You know, there's a lot of research and the occurrences of severe weather events in years like this being higher than usual. And we have obviously evidently seen an absolutely astronomically high number of severe weather reports over the last month. It's kind of hard to wrap your head around how much there's been, but that has been something that we've kind of anticipated due to the transition into this La Nina. In spring, whenever you kind of see these transitions during this particular time of year, severe weather is amplified quite a bit.
Yeah, guys, is there any way to measure how this year stacks up on the severe weather scale? I mean, counting the tornado warnings or something like that?
Yeah. So I actually looked at this right before we hopped on. Right now, we have the most reports in May for the United States since 2011, which was one of the most active, I think probably the most active severe weather season on record. So, you know, going back that far, more than 12 years, 13 years, it's the most active that we've been since then.
Yeah. And the, you know, every time a storm goes through, it's the most severe thing storm that it's, you know, the latest severe storm. So it's hard to measure that. But the severity of these storms with the outbreaks of the tornadoes and the destruction that it caused over the weekend, my gosh, you guys, yeah. That had to be up the list on Memorial Day weekends, right?
Absolutely. It does. It is. And I'll tell you one thing, Chip, just for a couple of statistics here real quick. For the month of May in 2024, 469 tornadoes, 3,475 severe wind events, and 1,640 severe hail events just in the month of May of this year.
Oh, and that, man.
When you look at the map, I'm looking at it right now. It's almost as if every state east of the Rockies almost has seen a tornado report for the month of May somewhere. It's actually crazy. It's
wow. So wow. It's, wow. Yeah, wow. Those are huge numbers.
Yeah.
Huge numbers. Yeah. So what is the status then of this transition from El Nino to La Nina or back to La Nina? What's the status?
Yeah, I mean, looking at the latest weekly ENSO report, the CPC puts out a weekly ENSO report every week, and they update you on all that stuff. And right now, we're continuing to see a rapid cooling in the equatorial Pacific waters, just the temperature of those waters. When you look at the change over the last 30 days, the equator over towards South America has seen a dramatic cooling going on. We're well on our way to that La Nina. There's a large body of very cold water just beneath the surface of the ocean. We call those our subsurface temperature anomalies. So any upwelling that can happen in the eastern Pacific is going to bring up cold water, which is going to then bring in, you know, the La Nina. So I think, and Brett, and you can tell me if you agree or disagree, I think by July we're in a La Nina.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that the atmosphere has already been trying to respond to that. We've certainly seen it with the severe weather. We're not 100% there yet, which is why I think at times we're getting some of these cooler shots to continue. A lot of times into La Nina, it gets really hot in the summertime, and I think it does. But it may at times allow for parts of June to have some cooler air like we have this week in the eastern portion of the country.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Brett, you did a summer weather outlook back in the middle of May. What is on tap? What should we expect? How long does this severe weather last? I think is what everybody wants to know, guys.
Yeah.
You know, and Michael, feel free to chime in too. I think at times, as you get some of this cooler air, at times the first portion of the month, maybe there can be little lulls. But to be completely honest, I think the summer continues to be very active. I'm concerned that as heat ramps up later on into June and July, that you could get more of those derechos that go through, and severe wind events can become very prevalent as we work further into the summer months.
Yeah, we got a taste of that just on Sunday. I mean, we saw that Boeing line of storms moved through and just wreaked havoc across the southeastern portion of the belt there. And you know, that's a taste, in my opinion, of what's to come this summer. Anytime that heat ridge in the south flexes and we get these heat waves, which I think we're going to have a few big ones this year, you're going to have those ridge riding thunderstorm clusters that are absolutely going to be favorable for big wind events.
Yeah. Okay. Friday storm, that was classified a derecho, wasn't it?
Yes.
Was it, Brett?
Yep, I saw that it was officially classified as one.
Just gaining a better understanding of exactly what it takes to create those situations, I think, is beneficial for everyone. But when everything is lined up and we get those strong winds for a long, long stretch across the middle of the country, the mm-hmm. amount of damage that they can whip up is absolutely staggering. So, we need to understand it. We need to understand it seriously. Tell me this. So I experienced something yesterday on the drive home. It was 75 degrees on the truck thermometer, and so it might have been off by a little bit. But, I mean, within moments, guys, it was 56 degrees. And when you get that kind of temperature change within 2 miles, that's the kind of energy that it takes to create the pop-up storms like we had yesterday, right?
Was it storming nearby?
Oh, I was right in the middle of it.
Yeah. So you probably had, you know, that storm was probably collapsing, and it had a big, what we call a downburst, and all that rain cooled air hits the surface, and you get a 10, 20 degree temperature drop just like that. And normally you get a big straight line wind gust when that happens too.
Yep. So,
That's exactly probably what we experienced.
I could see it coming across the field. Let's put it that way. And wow. When I've got time to tell my wife to hang on, because this is gonna be rough. So second half of the growing season, we've got just a couple of minutes left. Second half of the growing season, Michael, have you got some red flags up on that?
I do, Chip. I think that once we start to see the La Nina kind of sink its teeth in and the global winds slow down as a result of that, we monitor what's called the angular momentum. It's a fancy term for the global wind pattern. When that slows down and the La Nina sets in, I'm under the impression that the late part of the growing season, there can be some significant ridging or some heat domes occurring. And I think the moisture potentially shutting off, and this happens in big hurricane years, big active hurricane seasons, where that ridge sets up over the northern U.S., the Great Lakes, and it steers hurricanes into the Gulf of Mexico, but it shuts off precipitation in the Corn Belt,
right.
and that's a concern I have this year. These very wet springs and these nice starts with a lot of moisture going into La Niñas historically don't really turn out to be very friendly the second half of summer.
Yeah.
So that's my concern.
Yep. There are examples that I've got in my mind over how it can turn out a little bit rough. You guys are great. Thank you so much.
Michael Chip.
Clark, Brett Waltz, BAMWX.com. All right, check them out. Go to BAMWX.com and see if they've got a service there that will help you out and better understand the weather that's coming your way. We're talking cattle market with Ross Baldwin next.
We're living in the age of smart. Smart phones, smart cars. Heck, they even got smart refrigerators. And now, there's SmartFoil by Agroxy. Nah, it ain't for your kitchen. It's a biological foliar application for soybean growers. Specifically, the ones that know you gotta protect your beans at flowering if you want yield.
SmartFoil reduces environmental stress, like heat and drought when it matters most, giving you better pod count and yield potential. It's the smart thing to do for your soybeans. So ask your retailer about SmartFoil by Agroxine or visit BigBeanBloom.com to learn more.
Has your child swallowed your medicine, your laundry detergent, your nail polish remover? Call the Poison Helpline. Have you inhaled paint thinner, glue, pesticides? Call the Poison Helpline. Have a question about a dose, a fume, something your kid just drank? Call the Poison Helpline. Poisonings can happen at the home, on the job, or in the great outdoors. Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. 1-800-222-1222. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets. With this WRDN market update, I'm Brian Wenikins. June milk down 41 to 1948. July down 46 to 1960. August down 33 to 1964. September milk down 28 at 1955. Live and feeder cattle markets are moving mostly higher after the cattle on feed report and continued support of higher box-dip beef prices. The market's currently thriving in what seems to be a perfect storm as demand continues to drive box beef prices higher, and also some of the drop in the corn markets supporting the cattle today. Hog markets are lower even though midday pork cutout values were higher. The lean hog complex continues to trade mostly lower. Traders and pork producers both like to see the carcass price higher, but after a long stretch of weak pork demand, traders want to see continued pork interest at the meat counter before they begin to believe that demand is substantiating. June live cattle up 77 cents to 184.47. August feeder cattle up 417 to 264.40. June hogs down 35 cents to 93.25. Chicago Board of Trade, corn and soybeans were moving mostly lower. Wheat still slightly higher today, as there's still some further downgrades to Black Sea area wheat expectations and a strong euro wheat trade today. That's helping the wheat markets. Corn and beans moving lower. New crop corn down 3 to 485 and a quarter. New crop beans down 9 and a quarter to 1210 and a quarter.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk. But there was a
time back in the Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this Tuesday morning, day after Memorial Day. We spent the whole weekend thinking about the cattle trade. It popped into my head every now and then, just wondering.
You did?
I did. I mean, it was dealing with some things, okay. You know, and it was things that happened after the close on on Friday, and I just kind of wondered, geez, how is the cattle market going to respond? Well, so far so good. Yeah. We'll see if that continues or not. We've got Ross Baldwin. Ross is with agmarket.net, and he joins us right now. Ross, how are you doing? It's great to talk with you.
I'm doing good, Chip. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, glad you're here. One of the things that we got on Friday after the close was the cattle on feed report. The monthly cattle on feed report looked like lined up with trade expectations pretty well, didn't it?
Correct. The on feed report, it came in fairly close with what the expectations were. So the on feed was 99.1. The guess was 99.1. Placements was 94.2 versus 93.3 was the guess. And the marketing number came in a little bit above the guesses at 110.1 versus the guesses at 109.5. So by all rights, if you just look at the report just based on the face value of it, and you can say it was neutral, as it was in line with the expectations. But in the big picture, in my eyes, it's a bullish report, because this is the first cattle on feed report that we've seen the on feed numbers drop in 8 months. You had to go back to the September report where we saw the on feed come in and below 100% versus below a year ago numbers. So it really sets the stage in my eyes as we're really going to start working into tighter numbers. And so the fact that we've started this, getting this ball rolling on tighter numbers, and you've seen what the placements are doing, and I look for those numbers to continue getting tighter. And so it's bullish for the cattle market.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You know, that total inventory, is a bit of a deceiving number, because we've been talking about how tight cattle supplies are, yet for 8 months from September through April 1, we were dealing with increasing numbers in the feedlot. Now, and that's just because our numbers were so low a year ago.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. The way these reports are structured is the benchmark is versus a year ago. And that's another interesting thing for this report is last year's numbers were low in this report. On feed was below 100. Placements were below 100. So the fact that we even came in still below 100, that was below last year's numbers. So just as you're saying, when you're comparing to a year ago type numbers and last year was low, that's where it gets tough to, you know, sometimes to really be below 100%. And, you know, the on feed thing, when you look at what the on feed numbers have been over these last several months, you've got all time record high feeder cattle prices. Yeah. And so it's not a huge shock that ranchers want to be, you know, continue to move these cattle to feedlots.
Yep. Well, and not just the feeder cattle market, there's some disparity between what's happening in the cash cattle market, cash fed cattle market versus live cattle futures. Did we make a new all-time high in the cash cattle market last week?
We did. So the northern trade was 192 to 193 live picked up, and we had dress trade at 304, which those are new all-time high prices up here. The southern trade was around 187 for the most part, but the averages haven't came out yet by the USDA, but we should get to see those numbers here in just a little bit. And so, it should be a new all-time high prices.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
No shortage of moving pieces going on in this market. And as you said, you saw that headline Friday and you thought about the market all weekend long. And so that makes two of us as I'm trying to be happy and celebrate all-time high prices. Then we're dealing with a headline like we saw.
Right. Well, we haven't even said what the headline is, and it came from Reuters at 2:03 on Friday afternoon, 2:03 Central Time on Friday afternoon. So 3 minutes after the cattle on feed report is out, we get this headline: bird flu detected in tissue samples of U.S. dairy cow sent to slaughter, USDA says. Now, it was one cow. 95, let's see, USDA said it has completed testing of beef tissue from 96 of 109 muscle samples that were collected as part of a meat safety study. This is the only one that has shown up with the virus in the tissue, but the way that this live cattle market has been so sensitive to the headlines, Ross, it had me worried all weekend long.
Same here. And the timing of it, like you said, 2:03, the cattle on feed report comes out at 2:00. And so we're also dealing with, cash prices at all time highs. And then you throw this wrench in it, right? Because over the last couple months since this bird flu headlines have came out, the market, depending on what the headline was, we've had several days where they hammered this market. And then they, you know, the USDA wanted to test the bird flu in cooked meat, and it all came back negative. That they put the bird flu into the cooked meat. They cooked it. It came back that it cooks the final product of it, and the board went screaming higher that day. So then you get this one on the heels of that one, and it was like, what's the market going to do here? And we were a little tepid out the gate here this morning that we were higher. Live cattle, where feeders have been strong all day, but live cattle, they were a little bit higher on the opening. And then we were 40 to 50 lower, I think it was, at one point. And then we've reversed course and we're not terribly high right now, but 25 to a dollar higher across the board. Right. So it seems like we've really shaken this off for right now. Like you said, it was one sample. The cow was condemned. No meat from these dairy cattle entered the food supply.
Right.
And I still think there's more questions than answers. But at the end of the day, the USDA has continued to emphasize that the meat from the condemned livestock is prohibited from entering the food supply. And
the process is working.
The process is working that we have in place.
Yeah. But it may have taken traders 3 days to understand that.
To look at that, we did have the second human case that popped up last week at a dairy worker in Michigan. The symptoms were very mild. The worker has recovered. It's still, the virus has not mutated. It's not spreading human to human. It's only dairy cow to human where they're working around them. So the risk to the public remains extremely low. And when that case came out also last week, the market really shrugged that off too. And we didn't have any selling pressure from that. So for right now, with what they've thrown at this market over the avian influenza over these last couple of weeks, it sure seems like the market has really been at ease after the samples you know, where the USDA tested, you know, cooking the meat, and no particles were found in the finished product, the cooked product.
Right, right. You know, on Friday when I was showing some concern about this headline that we had gotten from Reuters, I got a couple. There were two or three that texted me or sent me a direct message right away and said, "Listen, cooking." Cooking beef takes care of the virus. We've got to stress that. And I did not stress that enough on Friday, and I should have. But you're absolutely right. Cooking the meat takes care of the virus. And at least it has to this point. So that's really good. Really good. So the cattle, the cold storage report was also out on Friday. Ross, did you see anything in there that might make you concerned about overall beef demand and maybe some slump because of a high price?
The total pounds of beef in freezers were 1% lower from last month and down 5% from last year. So we continue to see a drawdown in the cold storage numbers. Now, a lot of meat that goes into cold storage is staging for exports, is what they say. And our exports, they are running obviously lower as we're dealing with tighter supplies. But I don't see anything big coming out of the cold storage report. And honestly, as we continue to work into tighter numbers, I think the beef market's going to be in good shape. We've saw the choice cutout market had a monster rally over these last few weeks. Now it obviously took a little bit of a breather here last week, but we still ended the week at around 310. I believe it was just shy of 311 on the choice cutout. Select was around 301. And as we continue to move forward with these tighter numbers, you look at placements, you look at on feed coming down. I look for this cutout market to stay really supported. I think beef demand is surprising a lot of people. With everything that's went on with inflation and how the consumer, we all fear the consumer's being pinched, and we all know what it's like. You just go to a grocery store or go to a fast food restaurant and you see what inflation's doing. But I do think beef demand has been a lot more resilient than what we're all giving it credit for.
Certainly has. Certainly has. Only got about 30 seconds. What do you want risk managers thinking in this cattle market right now, Ross?
There's no question that break evens have been high, feeder cattle are high. So for the guy putting cattle on feed, you really need to, when you get those cattle placed on feed, really talk to whoever your broker is and look at a minimum, just have some put options underneath this thing. We've seen the sheer volatility that we've had over the, gosh, even go back to last fall, we had that big sell-off. And as these prices continue to go higher, that volatility is going to continue to increase. And so at a minimum, get some puts underneath of this thing to really prevent a big train wreck.
Yeah. Yeah. Good counsel. Good counsel right there, Ross. Hey, man, good stuff. Thank you so much for making time for us this morning, and we'll talk to you again, okay?
Thanks for having me, Chip.
You bet. Ross Baldwin, a cattle hedging specialist there for agmarket.net. All right. Davis and I will be back to wrap up this week's, no, it's not the first hour. Tuesday edition of AgriTalk.
Summer starts now with Memorial Day appliance savings at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off. Plus, save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances from brands like KitchenAid. And right now, you can double your savings when you spend $2,500 or more. Shop in-store or online today, because Lowe's knows home improvement. Offer valid through 6/5. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that is huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. So see what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 877-26-BIBLE. That's 877-26-BIBLE. 877-26-BIBLE.
Agriculture drives this country.
Congress recently invested $20 billion in conservation practices.
These programs help small farmers better their practice at a cost that they can afford.
They've helped me to not only take care of my family, but to take care of the land.
Today, these funds are at risk. Congress, protect conservation funding in the Farm Bill and keep agriculture viable for future generations. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
The next disaster is coming. The time to get ready is now. Make a plan. Identify meetup locations and people you'll need to contact. Put your contact list in your wallet, on your phone, and somewhere visible in your home. Build a kit. Store enough food and water for 3 days. Don't forget your pets. And consider buying a pre-made kit. Keep at least 7 days of medication on hand. Work with your pharmacist and insurance company to secure the extra doses. Make copies of important documents. Keep them on your phone, in the cloud, or on a USB stick. Stay informed. Learn about local hazards. Take courses in CPR and first aid. And sign up for local alert systems. An early warning can give you the time you need to prepare for a fast-moving disaster. Be ready. Learn more at americares.org/sendusin.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody, on a lovely Tuesday morning. 76 degrees and sunny here in the city of Fountains. Chip, what's your local report there?
That is gorgeous is what saying to that.
Yeah.
Because we are 62 degrees and rainy.
Okay. 62 and rainy.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not raining at this moment, but it's going to be again soon.
Well, no, that's no kind of attitude to have,
dude,
is it?
It's reality. It is reality right now.
You're just looking for time to stay inside and work on your novel, aren't you?
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah, reading.
I see you.
Reading my novel. But we've got rain expected again over the weekend. Saturday right now looks like it might be a decent day. But temperatures are on the way up next week. But the local guys are still looking for rain chances on a near daily basis into next week, Davis. Yep. There's no question it is soggy. It is too soggy. I was in my hometown, Oxford Junction, Iowa, over the weekend for the Memorial Day ceremonies. And took a drive down by the park, and the water's right up to the old Legionnaire Ballroom, baby.
Yep.
It's the Wapsipinicon River has flooded again.
Man.
It's pretty gnarly. And I drove over the not exactly the headwaters of the Wapsie on Friday.
Okay.
But, you know, 120 miles north of where I saw it over the weekend, and bank full and taking on plenty of water.
Yeah.
Up north, too. So that Wapsie is going to be a problem for a couple of days. But it's just the local guys up here at KWWL Weather last night reported that we were less than an inch. I shouldn't say less than an inch, about an inch away from the wettest May on record.
Oh, is
we're
that
already
right?
We are already the second wettest May on record.
And with rain
so that's
in the
like 130 some years.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Another huge problem that impacted me directly over the weekend.
Yeah.
Wind, hail, you know, rain, okay. There's plenty of that around, but let's not forget they were talking about on Friday. The Friday morning winds, was classified as a derecho. And from the map that I saw, the derecho area went for like 600 and some miles.
Yes.
Like from Nebraska to Illinois.
Yeah.
We had
you and me are between those two points.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Over the weekend on Friday night, I was supposed to have a gig. It was canceled, which is fine. I play too many anyway. I need to slow down a little bit. About midnight, I'm sitting home thinking, oh, well, what am I going to do with this holiday weekend? This is going to be great. Power goes out just before midnight Friday night.
Wow.
The wife had gone up north to see the family. They had a graduation party, and I said, I'll stay here. I got a thing going. I got all sorts of stuff to do. You go ahead.
Yeah.
So here I sit with the dog and no lights.
And no lights. No power.
And no power. Still had water and hot water. But the power didn't come
back
on. Boy,
that ain't living on the farm.
No. No. This is town living, you know.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. We like it fancy. A lot of fancy stuff here. Power came back on last night at right at midnight. So basically, for the entire weekend, I got to camp in my own home here in the city.
Wow.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If that's definitely, what do they call it now? Glamping? Glamorous camping?
Well, and here's the thing. For those of you folks who aren't really interested in having a generator or maybe don't have one, there are solar devices out there. I utilized one and hard tested it. And what you do is you charge up your little solar doohickey, and then you've got all these little batteries laying around, the storage packs for your phones and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, then you start charging those suckers up.
Yeah.
I'm running anything that's a USB will run off of those little batteries. I found all sorts of different ways to make light and sound over the weekend. It was fantastic.
Wow.
A little listen preparation, though. See, and now listen
regular
to the
old Thomas Edison,
guy.
Aren't you?
Oh, I am. But I was thinking I would do way better in a winter power outage because I've got all sorts of little heaters and ways to heat the air. Cooling the air is what concerns me when I, that's my takeaway from the conversation with the BAM guys. There's a chance for some extreme heat events. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Well, and hey, we shouldn't even joke about trying to stay cool when it does get hot this summer.
Well, yeah.
Because that is a life-threatening situation for
a
lot
of people. It absolutely is. Yes.
Yeah. So, finding that way to keep cool, maybe that should be a priority.
I'd love to be able
to get a battery-operated fan plus misting system.
Yes. Misting system. Now,
yes.
That sounds good. A system. That's what
I
mean.
Well, as long as you've got water, you should be able to create mist. And if you can create mist with a breeze, you can stay cool, dude. A little bit of shade?
I like the sound of this.
You got it knocked out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, plus I do have a basement beet laboratory, too.
Right.
I think we just camp out in there and
make
some
sick beets. It is always cool in the bunker.
Come back on.
Yeah, it is always cool in the bunker. There is no question about that.
Well, safety first out there, everybody. A couple of my neighbors have got generators running and stuff. Yeah. I don't know. I'm waiting for the whole neighborhood to burn down. These guys don't know what they're doing. just be careful, everybody. Be careful, but be prepared, you know?
Seriously, be careful because the storms are out there again. And Northeast Texas is really kind of getting hammered. It's making its way into Louisiana and Arkansas. Oklahoma has still got those storms training out of the panhandle. It's gnarly down there, guys, so be careful. It is a heads-up kind of day in plenty of areas. Cattle market is still hanging right in there. Feeder cattle market trading sharply to the upside. Live cattle futures also trading higher, so I'm glad to say that we did not ruin that in the conversation with Ross. It is still up and running. We're going to talk more about the cattle market this afternoon. Joel Coima from KKV Trading is going to be our guest analyst. And tomorrow morning, of course, we got the Farmer Forum here on AgriTalk.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Your gas light's on. We need to fill up.
Gas around here is too expensive.
Don't drive all over searching for the lowest prices. Just download the free Upside app and get cash back for every gallon of gas you buy. I've already made around $200.
You can make that kind of cash back just for buying gas? I'm stopping now to download Upside and fill up my tank. Download the free Upside app to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or e-gift card. Download the free Upside app now and use promo code RADIO for an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up. That's promo code RADIO.
Welcome back to Verizon Radio. Our next track will get you amped for our biggest deals of the season. It's called Red Hot Deal Days.